Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Welcome, listeners, to a very special 2020 anime edition of 101. I am your king, Baby Doc Evan Borgo. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. And today, I am being joined by the director of community marketing over at Crunchyroll, which had a stellar year of fantastic new anime series, ranging from newcomers like Keep Your Hands Off Aizouken and My Next Life as a Villainess, All Routes Lead to Doom, to returning favorites like Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in the Dungeon and Mr. Osomatsu. This year, they finally unleashed their Crunchyroll Originals brand with series like Taru of God and Tonikawa Over the Moon for You, with more original programming currently in development. I am very happy to welcome the real Kilometers himself, Mr. Miles Thomas. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Evan. Thank you so much for having me on today.
You're very welcome. So first off, 2020 outside of anime has been very crazy. How have you and the Crunchyroll crew have been doing during this strange time of ours?
It has certainly been strange. I think I have it better than most because I had a kid in January, my first child. And so having a baby around, like, I don't miss any firsts. I get that little bundle of endorphins to squeeze between meetings, you know, or even have them on my lap during meetings, which is really nice.
Yeah,
to be able to spend so much time with the kid. But my team, like the community marketing, like we are the bridge between the company and the community. And so we have kind of a little bit of a community ourselves, and it's been real hard to not like be able to bounce ideas back off each other, like in a little like pit in the office, to not be able to take a coffee break when like things are getting rough, like with a coworker to just like vent to, or you know, try and strategize with, or you know, like how do we market this thing in this right way, or how do we take advantage of this problem, or losing that has been really rough, but the team has persisted all the same.
Right. I mean, it's one thing to be like doing it in person, like talking and shooting ideas, but like having to do it remote, you know, there's some waiting time, and then sometimes there's the waiting time is something that you can't have because it's very urgent.
At the same time, though, the flexibility and like the lifestyle has helped the team too, so it hasn't been all bad. And certainly I feel incredibly blessed to have my situation in this really hard year. I mean, like, the year has been just hard on people because like being isolated from your friends and family is hard. Having friends and family have problems. Like, 2020 has been a really hard year for everybody in every industry I know of. And so I don't think we're any different, but I'm just grateful to work with such incredible people that we are able to do everything we're able to do all the same.
Right, absolutely. Now, like, one of the things that's been a big drawback during this whole thing is like the lack of conventions. So as such, you know, Crunchyroll has probably had to do some outside the box thinking to reach out to anime fans in different ways. And my question for you is, how do you feel Crunchyroll has connected with these fans over this past year?
I mean, I guess the thing that the evil marketer in me is like, oh, well, like if you look at the numbers, like my team has always been so good at connecting with like literally billions of fans. Like we are, our posts are seen, are like, if we make a promotional video, there's a good chance it'll be seen by like millions of people. And that's just part, like we're, Crunchyroll is such a big brand that means so much to so many people in so many countries that like my day-to-day feels like I'm connecting with fans regardless of distance, time, space, all that good stuff. But we have still always valued so highly that convention experience, and virtual Crunchyroll Expo was so much fun for me because the events team was coming to my team and saying like, we need to do something that's halfway between your day job and our day job. And like we, you know, my team goes to conventions, both as fans and as Crunchyroll staff. And so we have a lot of affection for that convention lifestyle. And Crunchyroll Expo this year, the virtual Crunchyroll Expo was just a ton of fun. And I was so impressed with things like our cosplay extravaganza, the Hime's Cosplay Cup that the Incredible Char helped run. That event just felt like the most meaningful community gathering that I've experienced all year, with maybe one or two exceptions, which are very personal to me. Right. like that event as like an anime fan was the ideal. Like the chat was popping off the whole time. People were really getting into it. There were like people, there were all these memes that were forming. Like, you know, it's kind of like at a con 10 years ago, like at a 2010, like fanime, there would be some incident that happened at the con on a Friday, and by Sunday there would be cosplays of that incident. Like,
yeah.
that kind of like con like ethos, that kind of like, this is our own little community here in whatever city we're in. Like, I felt like we actually captured that online in a way that I haven't seen from many other anime events, except for maybe like the one out of the UK, Cloud Matsuri.
Very nice, very nice. But hopefully by next year, slowly, we can get back into doing the in-person conventions. But I've been very impressed and very happy with the way that these online ones have been going.
I mean, honestly, I'm just like, yesterday, I'm dating the podcast a little bit. Yesterday was a discotheque day, right? And yeah, the discotheque day was fun. You know, it's 1,000 of us, there's not that many people at the discotheque panels at conventions. So there are some places where the digital events let you kind of bring people together who wouldn't otherwise come together, for pretty like pragmatic, practical reasons. And I love that.
Absolutely. They had some very great announcements there too. I was actually very surprised about Kodocha. I'm very happy that they're going to be getting that, because that was such a funny show.
That one took me back when they announced that. I lost my mind.
Absolutely. Now, outside of the real life craziness, 2020 still was a great year for anime. As I mentioned, we had Keep Your Hands Off Eizouken, we had Princess Connect Redive, Misfitted Demon King Academy, Jujutsu Kaisen, and a plethora of others. For you, what do you think stands out the most when thinking of anime in 2020?
You know, this year has been one of my lowest anime watching years ever, so I only watched about 10 shows a season.
What?
No, I try and keep up with stuff both for work and for pleasure. I have definitely gone down some content rabbit holes personally, but in terms of anime, like I think that my favorites are probably pretty similar to yours. Eizouken is of course probably the best anime I've seen this year. I don't think it's actually all that close. Jujutsu Kaisen is the most fun I've had with anime in a long time. But I also really liked Apare Ranman over on Funimation. That one, like, it has everything I wanted. Like, it's kind of got that Western feel. It's like Western the genre, not like Western animation. It's got that PA Works sense of style and like crazy character designs. It was manic and fun. Sorry, you're looking like you want to cut in.
I'm like agreeing with you about Apare Ranman. Like, that show like really impressed me. This past season alone, we have the show Sleepy Princess in the Demon Castle, and I'm a huge fan of Dogakoba, and I think this is actually probably the funniest thing that they've actually ever made.
Really?
Yeah.
I loved the first two episodes, but my wife, after those first two episodes, said, so we've watched the whole show, haven't we?
No, you haven't. No.
I need to get back to it.
The manga has gone for 17 volumes. They have a lot of material to work with.
I had no idea. I love those. That show is so much fun. It's so disarming. It reminds me of the anime I used to watch in like my college anime club. Like, where did you find this weird OVA? Like, but it's for a whole 12 episodes.
So I don't know if you can tell, but I actually managed to get the Teddy Demon over from Japan.
That is a particularly fine export. Good job, dude.
Thank you. Now, I know there hasn't been... I know you say you're only watching 10 shows a season, but I'm curious to know, has there been an anime from Crunchyroll's roster that has personally surprised you this year?
I don't get all that surprised anymore. I don't know. When it comes to surprises, I guess Gata High School, I was expecting it to just be like... I hadn't read the webtoon, but I'm like, well, and I knew we were like really hot on it, and I knew the fan base was crazy, but I don't know. I just felt like it was going to be like a very, like, I walked into it thinking it was just going to be a shonen anime. Like, not like it was going to be bad or anything. I thought it was going to be quite good, but I didn't think it was going to be like, oh, I'm obsessed with this. Like, I didn't feel like I'd get that, like, that feeling back that I got when I was like 15 watching my first shonen anime, you know? And I did. Right. And so, like, that's more of a personal journey of it. Like, I shouldn't have underestimated how good Gata High School was, but I did.
You know, the animation style kind of reminded me of, I don't know if you're familiar with the manga artist, Oh Great. He did like Air Gear. He's doing the Bakemonogatari manga adaptation. I look at the characters and he reminded me so much of something from an Oh Great manga.
That's very interesting. I have tried to not think about Air Gear for many years now. No, I can see it though. I can see that comparison.
Now, speaking of like Crunchyroll originals, you have had some really great ones, starting with the webtoon collaborations like God of High School and Tower of God, leading up this season with Tonikawa Over the Moon for You and Onyx Equinox.
And Noblesse.
Yes, Noblesse. How do you feel that these new originals have fared with viewers and streamers alike?
I mean, I'm luckily able to look at all the data so I can say, like, people really like them, which is nice. You know, if the company isn't, like, we've done co-productions for 5 years or so now. Like, we've invested in 60, 70 shows, I think. Don't quote me on that, but it's probably about right. And so now that we're moving into originals territory, I've been a big fan of the titles that we've invested in this whole time. I've been very pleased with our team out of Tokyo that's been working on that, and our team out of the US that's been working with our team out of Tokyo, and now our teams out of all these other countries. Like, we're the globalized era. Like, this process of finding content, investing in the right content, working with our the right partners in Japan has been so incredible, and in Burbank too. I don't know. I've really been pleased with the results on the viewership side, and I've been like, Tonikawa is a really good example of something that, like, you know, because it's an original, I've known it's coming for so many years, and so for the last few years, just seeing people be like, "Oh man, I wish this got an anime," it just does my heart so good to see that those fans have gotten, like, that validation and that support from the company, and I love that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Kenjiro Hata. Like, Hayate the Combat Butler is one of my all-time favorite anime series. So you guys doing Tonikawa really made me happy, and I've been thoroughly enjoying the anime adaptations. Like, I've been reading the manga.
I'm so glad.
Like, I've been doing the reviews for the Viz Media releases and such, and I feel like you guys have been doing a fantastic job with the anime adaptation, both with the original and even the English dub. The dub has been fantastic. Lauren Landa has been amazing as Tsukasa.
I'll make sure to pass that on to the team. I'm sure they'll love to hear that.
Now, has there been any word on continued seasons of this past year's Crunchyroll originals? Because, you know, Tower of God kind of left us on a bit of a cliffhanger there, and I think a lot of people have talked about, like, how, oh, it's just going to get better from here if they keep on adapting it.
You know, I personally, as a fan, would kill for Tower of God Season 2 and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But certainly, I can't speak to anything going on in terms of further seasons or any Crunchyroll originals that have not yet been announced. But always keep your eye on the site. We will let you know.
Understandable. I know. That's the answer you have to give. Contracts, NDAs, all that. Don't worry. Now, I've brought this up with Adam, but I'm always pleasantly surprised when I see a J-drama showing up in Crunchyroll with this season's Cherry Wizard showing up in the roster. And, like, I've always seen like news about like manga getting live action adaptations, but they, you know, they never come to America. And my question is, has Crunchyroll ever considered bringing more dramas based on popular manga to Western audiences?
It's certainly something we've dabbled in from time to time. Really my go-to response here is, if you want to see more stuff like that, then watch it. Tell your friends to watch it. If it's clear that Crunchyroll users really like something, we're pretty good about making sure we get as much of that as humanly possible.
All right, so I'm knocking on wood that you guys get that Way of the House Husband adaptation, because I've heard great things about that.
I have seen some good GIFs. I've seen some good screenshots. I would love to watch that myself.
Cool. Now, we are coming into 2021. We've got some new shows coming, as well as the hotly anticipated returns of series like That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, Welcome to Demon School, Iruma-kun, Uma Musume, Pretty Derby, Non Non Buri, Dr. Stone, and the show that you have behind you right now, one of my personal favorites, Laid Back Camp. And this is probably an easy question. What are you most excited about?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Laid Back Camp Season 2 a lot. I'm really hopeful that Crunchyroll announces it. I would very much like to promote that title again. I love Laid Back Camp very, very dearly. It's one of my most favorite. I mean, but the thing is, I love Dr. Stone. Like, one of my coolest experience I've ever had in the industry, and it's probably meeting the authors of Dr. Stone.
Oh man, I was there at Anime NYC when when Viz hosted that panel. I was just blown away. Not just by what they were talking about, but Boichi. Man, that dude, the way he draws so quickly with such great detail, I don't think I've ever seen anybody like reach that level. Like he has.
I was trying to transcribe that panel for like work purposes, right?
And Me too.
I couldn't. I was like bawling. I'm like, this is so beautiful. This man is so incredibly talented. And he's so generous and he's so sweet. I cannot understate or overstate how much I adore him and Inagaki-sensei. Like, they're like the Dr. Stone team. Like, I love, it's one of my favorite manga that I'm reading.
I'm too.
Only keeping up with a couple, but like, it's one of my absolute favorites. And so super happy to come back to that Stone world. Super excited to come back to their stories. And we get my favorite character in Season 2, maybe, I hope.
We'll see. Yeah, so Dr. Stone is one of the very few anime series where I've reviewed it and given it 5 stars for every single category. In fact, I think, because I've reviewed the manga too, it's the series, like, at least 10 of the volumes I've given 5 stars to, because it always finds ways to, like, blow me out of the water with what they come up with.
It's just something else.
As well as the winter 2021 season, we've also got the Crunchyroll Anime Awards, which I think are coming up very shortly.
That's right.
My question is, how do you hope this year's ceremony will differ from previous years?
I mean, we are certainly in a pandemic world, so the ceremony will not be the same as it was before. I don't want to spoil anything about that as we're getting up, but I've been working on the nominees. I oversee the judge program, and been really, really incredibly impressed with the judges. We have a great cast. I think about 50 of them this year, which is a big increase from last year. They're from all over the world, some really interesting folks. And so I'm sure that the show we're going to put on is going to delight and entertain y'all in ways you haven't even considered.
Awesome. Now, lastly, what do you hope will be the ultimate goal of Crunchyroll coming into 2021?
I think that Crunchyroll's done a really incredible job bringing anime and bringing a sense of community to folks all over the world, bringing like behind the scenes information from creators, like really trying to connect fans with the production staff in Japan, with, you know, whether it's at conventions, digital or otherwise, whether it's with our social videos and interviews. I'm hoping for 2021, from my team's perspective, at the very least, we continue to really bring fans closer with creators, and really make that relationship feel very mutually like dear and warm. Like one of the coolest things we can do is share with the production staff and the creators, like, hey, this is what fans overseas are saying about your work, or look at all these people who are so incredibly passionate, because sometimes they just don't see it, you know? Who was it? It was Kishimoto Sensei, the author of Naruto, who said, "I had no idea how popular my work was until I started getting like more fan letters from America than I did from Japan." Like,
that was, wow!
You know,
and that's the thing, because anime has become such a global thing. It's no longer, you know, just like a Japan exclusive thing. Like authors and like animators, they're no longer just focusing on Japan. They're realizing it's a whole like worldwide thing. That's why we're seeing so many series like getting a second or third season, because they know the demand is there for it.
The anime audience outside of Japan has just ballooned these last 10 years or so. It's been really fun to watch, and you know, with change there are ups and downs, but it's definitely been a net positive across the board, I think. And watching fans come together over something that, you know, 15 years ago, access to anime was sometimes impossibly hard.
It was impossibly hard. I remember being in college at anime clubs and trying to find some anime to watch. You know, you got to go into those deep, dark webs to find it. Now it's so much simpler. It's crazy that, like, this is just still just over a decade of having these amazing legalized streaming sites. It's fantastic, because it's bringing the anime community together in ways that no one ever thought was possible.
And it shows that people wanted this content all along. They just couldn't access it. Like, the access was the problem. And so I'm, as someone who's just a big animation nut, and like someone who particularly loves the vintages from Japan, like I have been so happy to watch this globalization happen, and I hope that my team can contribute to making that continue on in 2021.
I hope so too. Miles, thank you so much for joining me here on One-on-One. For more information, please be sure to visit crunchyroll.com. I believe also verve.co for your other streaming site. And where can people follow you on Twitter?
If you would like to make a grave mistake, you can follow me at Twitter at real_kilometers on Twitter.
Awesome. Miles, thank you once again. Best of luck for the rest of 2020. Have a great 2021. Have a great holiday season. And I look forward to seeing everything that Crunchyroll is doing in the not so distant future.
Of course. Thank you for your time, Evan. I love it.
You're welcome.